You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJC.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
Good morning and welcome to The Craig Carlisle Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And I love these Saturday shows, man. It's just something that just gets me going. And then Saturday, today, we're actually a little bit earlier today, and we're not actually live at this particular moment. So if you're listening to our playback broadcast, you would, you know, not be able to call in today. But I still am giving away the CDs from Andrew Hopkins, Send Out Your Roar. So send me out a DM and I will send those out to my first DMers. Also, I'm going to be giving away DVDs for the So Many Hats DVD for Shell T and Shell T's Comedy Corner that's coming up. She did her live taping on December 22nd, as you've been remembering that we pushed and we did a live broadcast from there as well. Today in studio is a pleasure. I have a great young man, Ellen Sines, is in the studio with me today. He's a young worship leader, worshiper, hey. Photographer, videographer. What else do you not do? That's probably should be the better question. Ellen, say hello to everybody.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
So tell everybody, share people, what do you love to do? Because again, like I said off here, I know you as a worship leader, as a worshiper, as a singer, as artist. Yeah. What is your story? What's behind the Alan that you want everybody to know?
Well, first off, thank you so much for letting me be on your show this morning.
No problem.
But so a little bit about my background is I grew up as a pastor's son. There's two of us growing up in the house and family of four. And God is so good. I have some amazing parents who raised me raised me in the word. Yeah. I have some incredible parents who have just stewarded what God's put in their hand. And that is Bread of Life Church. They've been pastoring for the last 23-24 years.
Wow. That same church?
Yeah. In the city of Lake Elsinore.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And so I've been very privileged to sit under their ministry, to sit under their authority my entire life, obviously. Yeah. And so there's that aspect, being raised in a God-fearing home, being raised as a pastor's son. And so that's that. And then the last, I want to say, about 4 to 5 years, maybe even further. Yeah, maybe 4 to 5 years. I've had my own small business, A-Signs Productions, shooting videos for weddings, music videos, all that good stuff. Video editing, and then photography, family portraits, all that stuff. So there's that aspect. And so, yeah, and just recently in the last couple of years, I was hired on to a church, and I've been privileged to be a part of their technical team and video production. And just, it's been great, man. It's really cool.
Well, I'm a PK too. So
yeah.
PKs, we have some interesting lives.
PK strong in the house.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. But it's one of those things for me growing up, I always laugh because people always wanted to do what they wanted to do. And you watch preacher's kids and think, they always say, oh, is that the worst kids in the world? Not the preacher's kids. And I'm like, nah, me personally, I don't think I was that bad. And,
right.
But there are some out there that are like horrible, you know, but we're not going to talk about the horrible side of preacher's kids. But when you look back on your life being a preacher's kid, what do you like most about that?
The free food. I'm just kidding.
No, for real. That's for real, though. That is for real. That was my favorite.
Right.
Yeah, because people always used to drop cakes and pies and good other food, you know, by the house. You name it. Whatever it was, you know, our dad's favorite.
Yeah.
That came a lot.
German chocolate cake. Oh. That's my dad's favorite. So we would see a lot of German chocolate cake in the house.
That would preach all by itself. Huh? That's what I'm saying.
Come on.
But for me, the saddest part about it was the long hours that I didn't really get a chance to see my dad because those others that were being ministered to who needed their pastor would be calling and coming by or calling and he'd be going by.
Definitely.
But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like what we're doing right now, right?
Right.
Same thing. They trained up some children in the way they should go, and that's what we do. I've seen you ministering in around town, all over the place, and worshiping, and so even doing videos where people are calling you and say, Alan, hey, I need you. Can you come?
Right, right.
You know, so in your dad's church, did you start off singing? Were you that kid that would always sing as a child, as a little small child? Then all of a sudden, you know, you're on the pulpit singing? How did that work out?
I wasn't kind of like, I have a lot of friends who are kind of like that, where they're just songbirds and they're always singing all the time. But for me, I've always been super outgoing and super just like energetic.
Not you. No. I didn't notice. I'm sorry. So those of you who you'll see his pictures, and those of you know Alan, you can tell this guy's got an infectious smile. He's got a big laugh that when he laughs, it's turns up the whole room like, ah, there's fun here. And we're going to go where that's where the fun is happening right there.
So I appreciate that.
There's never a dull moment with you around.
Thank you, man. So just growing up, I mean, I had ADHD as a young child. No. So
are you serious?
I was just doing the most. Oh, Lord, help me. I was getting myself into too much trouble. However.
So you were one of those preacher's kids that we talked about.
You know
right?
what? Can I share a quick story?
Please, please.
So I must have been probably 8 or 9. And yeah, we were renting this facility, Bread of Life Church. That is, we're renting this facility that was right next to, like, I guess it was like a McDonald's they moved locations. And so it was just like kind of an abandoned building. Mm-hmm. And somehow my little self was challenged or dared by another kid to see just how far, you know, this little rock can go. And your face says it all right now. And
wow.
Yeah, the alarm system went off and everything.
Oh, no.
Lord Jesus. It was terrible. But that's just like a little snippet of just, I was doing the most.
Oh, gosh. So were you the kid when your dad was preaching? Were you in the back of the church passing notes, cutting up? Was passing notes for me, because we didn't have cell phones and stuff back then. But were you on that pew where he had to come back in the back and stop you while he was preaching?
I remember one time I was just talking to one of my best friends. And side note, don't ever sit next to your best friend while your dad's preaching.
Oh, no, never, never.
So, yeah, one time I was talking.
That sounds prophetic.
Come on, somebody. One time I was sitting next to my best friend during a sermon, midweek service, and my dad looked over at me. He was like, Alan, can you pay attention? Well, during the sermon, I was so embarrassed.
Wow.
I was so embarrassed.
But did it help, though? Did you kind of stop for a second?
I said, praise God. Amen. Amen.
It's a good thing he didn't ask you to read the scripture, because I don't know what you'd have read at that moment. You'd have read something
Jesus wept.
Wow. Wow. He'd have said, First Thessalonians and something, you know.
And First Petalation.
Yeah, know what I'm saying?
5:17.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. So when you're growing up, what's your favorite time about being in church besides the free food day?
Favorite time, I would say, honestly, any time during worship, man.
Yeah.
I remember when I was 6 years old, my mom even has an old picture of it. And it was a picture of the first time I had like a God encounter at the altar. And to God be the glory, I was 6 years old and I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that was incredible. And to have like picture evidence of that is so cool.
Wow. Because for those of you who have that experience, it's awesome. For those of you who don't, are still looking for that experience, you can have that. It's not like it's something that you've got a special lock on or you've got to be a PK to have that lock on. But you just have to accept God in your life, ask him to be there, and just be open to seeking him and for the experiences that come afterwards. I mean, there's no recipe for it. There's no science. There's no way you could say, Alan, can you dial up that Holy Spirit again and give it to me? And well, no, you just have to ask and there
yes,
it is.
Sir. That's right.
You've worshiped a lot of different places. Is it easy to tell somebody who actually is worshiping versus those who are just singing and going through the motion?
But to answer your question, I've been there myself. to where it just kind of feels like I'm going through the motions. Oh, that's what I was going to say. God is so faithful that even as as human as we are, and sometimes we go through some of those days, you know, God is so faithful to move. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll just be like, man, at the end of a worship set, I'll be like, man, that was just like, I feel like God really wanted to do something, but maybe, you know, whatever was going on that week just kind of was just in the back of my head and I couldn't shake it.
Yeah.
or whatever the situation was.
Sure.
And I'm just kind of feeling like bummed out about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, the end of service comes and someone comes up and they're just like, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Like, man, God really used you. And like, if you only knew the kind of week that I had, and this was so refreshing.
Yeah.
And the presence of the Lord was here and moved. And then you're just like, God, you are so faithful.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome that we don't have to worry about doing everything, because God's going to do whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it.
Yes, sir.
So it takes the pressure off. I mean, because the way you described it, I've had many days you kind of sleepwalk through the day.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, dealing with the kids, and just this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The kids were like, oh, Dad, can we have our game system back? Because they got in trouble for eating upstairs. They're not supposed to eat, you know, upstairs.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, what makes you think you should get that back? And I'm in my mind, I'm trying not to just like lose it. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not being a very good dad at this moment, but God is faithful.
Yes,
it's like
is.
You mentioned, he always does more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So the days when
Absolutely.
We think we don't have enough, and things we don't want enough, and we don't want to give enough, he's giving everything that we need. You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And in studio, I've got Alan Sines. Great young man, great worship leader. I tell you what, if you even need a great videographer, photographer, I would come check him out. We'll be right back after this message. We're going to come to you with more, talking about worship, his life, and just life in general.
You're listening to My Dad on The Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
You're listening to My Dad on The Craig Carlisle Show. Are you listening?
Are you listening?
I'm listening. The question is, are you listening?
Sometimes.
Why are you listening all the time?
The show ain't all this time.
And we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show. And those are wondering, those are my kids, my two youngest boys. And we were just clowning around in the studio one night. And I always loved that bit. And it is not always, you can always hear the words clearly in the background about why isn't the show on all the time. Well, the show isn't on all the time. And but it's on every Saturday morning right here at 12:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. 3:30 Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And now we're actually on a Parker J. Cole family of products. So shout out to Parker J. Cole. How you doing out there, Ms. Parker? But now we're back to Alan. So we talk about you're 14 years old, your first day. And I wanted to know, what did that feel like? And how did you manage to get a chance to be the worship leader at 14, where you're the one standing there on the mic, ushering in the Spirit of God and trying to get everyone to worship and follow? I mean, how did that feel and how did that go? Was it like you wanted it to go, or was it just like, I mean, what did it look like?
Yeah, So it's funny because we used to have, when I say we, I mean Bread of Life Church, we used to have a really like just filled, jam-packed, awesome worship team, like just stacked, like every musician, every vocalist was just like, we were super blessed. And during that season, right before I came up, I had sung background vocals. I would say I started singing when I was 12 on our worship team.
Wow.
And the opportunity came up. Just there was a lot of transitioning going on, and my dad was like, "All right, son, you've been on the worship team for the last 2 years. I'm gonna need your help. I see you've been picking up the acoustic guitar lately, and I'd love to have you lead worship at the church for us." And I was just like, I was like, oh man, like that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, especially for your dad.
Yeah.
I mean, the church, yeah, for God, yeah, but that's dad I'm leading worship for. I mean, that, yeah. Is your dad a worshiper too? Is he more of a teacher?
Yeah, he's actually a teacher, preacher, worship leader, just all together.
Wow. So there's nothing for him to get up there and sing and worship and lead.
Yeah, no. So when he was around my age as well, he was doing the same thing in our organization that we're a part of. And he was leading national conferences. And that's in his toolbox and to minister in that way as well. So definitely every weekend at Bread of Life, if you're lucky, you'll be able to hear him lead some worship, whether it's just like an intimate time or just at the end as a call and response to the message.
So how does that feel following in his footsteps in terms of a worship leader? Because you've already talked about it prophetically, bringing the word. So I'm just saying, I'm sure that's coming at some point. Or have you already done that?
I have had opportunities. A part of being a pastor's kid is we are privileged and we're given opportunity. I've had the privilege and honor of being able to speak like on a midweek. Last year was the first time ever I spoke on a Sunday morning. I was super nervous about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, did you also lead worship that day?
I think I did. Yeah, I think I did. So it was like a weekend where my parents were out of town and they're ministering somewhere, and I was on schedule that month to speak, and I was super nervous, but God is so good. And even when we think we're not ready for something, you know, one of my favorite, I don't want to say quote, but just a saying that one of my dear friends, Josiah Lopez, says is that, or he told me, he was kind of like my youth pastor growing up, like a big brother, a mentor, you know, said, "Alan, I think that what God is calling you to, he's already equipped you for it." And so that's always stayed in my heart, because anytime I feel intimidated by something, or I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that or whatever, I just remember that what God has already called me to, he's already equipped me for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. That's something we all have to remember. So if you were a young worship leader, even if you're just a young person who's not quite sure what they want to do in church, or maybe you're a person that ushers or greets people in the parking lot and the front door, or maybe you're a teacher and you don't feel as if you're equipped to answer the call. But if the Lord's called you to it, he's already going to, you know, make you prepared. And that's also something that keeps you humble, lets you also keep
absolutely
being hungry and learning to do more and seeking God to get closer and closer to him, because you know that he's going to continue to refine you, because you're not perfect on the first time that you do it. It's
absolutely
more, you have to constantly be available and be ready and be studying. So when you're studying, you're preparing for worship.
Yeah.
What's your process? I mean, how do you go through a week? Because I know right out of a sunny weekend worth of worship, you've got to be tired.
You
got to take some time to refresh and then get back in the word for the week. Take us through what you do for that.
Definitely. Yeah. So Sunday evening, the last couple months, I've been just like, God's been bringing some amazing people around me, and I've just been establishing like a lot of new friendships, and God's been opening up doors of like some, I would call them big time worship leaders, just because they're so influential in their communities, and the way God uses them is incredible. However, but typically before God started opening up those friendship doors and stuff like that, man, honestly, I'd go home, grab a bite and just knock out. Cause it's just, it's not that like, oh, it's so much, but it's just that it's so much.
It's so
like
much.
It really is. Cause you're really like, you're pouring out from an intimate place that you have with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, really like you're giving God an offering of worship, and you're also inviting the rest of the congregation to join you in that. And it's not like we're not supposed to, as worship leaders, we're not supposed to be like cheerleaders and like, hey, like, come on, let's try and rile up something that's not there. But we are, you know, a part of the role as a worship leader is to inspire others to worship.
Sure.
And it's really refreshing and encouraging when people in the congregation are like, man, like when you lead us, like you inspire me to worship God. And I'm just like, yes, like that's my whole job. Like as a worship leader, that's my role, is to inspire others to lead worship. I mean, to give praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord.
Yeah. So how do you feel when you have those moments? Because we've all been in church when there's just a lull day.
Yeah.
When the spirit is just low.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say low. The spirit is a little harder to discern and find. Because we know where the word says where two or three are gathered, he's there in the midst. Sure. So you know the spirit is in the room.
He
may be standing there, looking around like, okay, anybody going to worship and praise me today? I mean, like, sincerely, not just jumping around. I don't know what the heck you're doing over there. Can you even imagine if you could just like see the Holy Spirit just sitting and standing in the room looking at somebody who was faking and just looking like, what in the world are you doing? I know you're praising somebody, but that you're not praising me. You know what I'm saying? And for those moments when you know when the Holy Spirit is pleased, and you go, yeah, that's it. And so here's more grace.
Yeah.
I've met grace, and I'm going to lay in here heavier because you all are really, really pressing in to see me. I
mean, yeah.
And when you're up there navigating, because I know you're discerning as to on those moments.
Yeah.
What does the Lord have you normally do on those moments when it's a harder to press in day?
Yeah.
What do you do? Because I know the easy press in days, you just fall in and it's there.
The other day, I challenged our congregation. And I said, church, I wonder how different our worship and our praise and our adoration to the Lord would look if we realized that our neighbor, somebody in our life who doesn't know God, that their encounter and their experience with the Lord could be contingent on our worship. Yeah. Because the overflow of our worship, you know, like just that whole, just kind of went down that whole thought. And man, that was just like, there was such a great response to that challenge, or a great response to that question.
Yeah.
And like, and then we got there, like we had that time with the Lord and people encountered his presence, and it was so powerful.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, we have to, as worship leaders, we have to, would the word be invoke?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Invoke, you know, challenge, ask questions, of just reminding people of God's faithfulness. Yep. The reason why you're still here is because he protected you in that car accident.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why, you know, that family member's still here is because he's a God who is faithful, and he's a healer.
Sure.
And that's why they're not in the hospital anymore, you know? And so like we as worship leaders, we remind the congregation of God's faithfulness, and It's a 10 out of 10. It's a win every time.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like with us, too, on a daily basis. We don't really need another blessing.
Right.
Now, we know the Lord's going to give it to us.
Yeah.
But if we would just remember, just like you said, if reminding the congregation, we would just remind ourselves of the last time the Lord did something for us, whether it be woke us up that day or gave us the breath we were using during that moment when our mind was thinking about not thinking that we could do anything for God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine how far better we would be.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can just. I think as worship, and I'm not a worship leader. That's not even my gift. So I'm just the sound guy in the back, or doing something on the side, or praying for somebody on the side. That's more me. But
right.
We have to know our role and step into it, like you're doing and constantly doing. I continually bless you to be able to continue to step into your role, because if the worship leader's not doing their job, then the praise worship team can't do their job, and the prayer warriors can't do their job, and the pastor can't do their job, and then nobody gets a breakthrough. Then we're all checked out. We're gonna be going to a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Craig Carlisle Show. Again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and got a great man of God in studio with me, Alan Sines.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
You're listening to My Dad on the Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC.
And we're back to the Craig Carlisle Show. We're in the third segment, so we need to make sure in this segment, Alan, that we're giving some real practical tools to really help people understand what they're doing, and especially those who are young in the worship, young in the faith,
yeah.
And even those of us who are old in the faith, we need to understand what we're doing as well. And we talked off air just briefly about the state of worship today. Yeah. Where is it going? Because like I said, you're 24?
24, yes.
Okay, I'm 49. Right. So having done sound for a long time, been a preacher's kid for a long time, I've seen the change in worship. When you and I, we sit in churches, we watch the shifting age range of worshipees, or, you know, people attending.
Sure.
And you've got a young crew on platforms in so many cases. But the music style right now is all the same.
Yeah.
In so many churches now, we know there's churches that are running gospel as a predominant. There's people who are running, you know, some of the old hymn stuff is really beginning to fade away. You know, on a mixed multicultural churches that you're having across the country. As you're standing on platform and as you're in rehearsals, what are you seeing as the state of worship today? Who are the front runners? Who are kind of really shaping this thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that, or at least the way I have been leading worship and trying to be as intentional as possible to not forget about the older generation and the former generations, is I always try to work in at least like some type of hymn or older song for just to add on to the worship experience, because you know us millennials and Gen Zs are not the only ones in the room.
Yeah.
We got baby boomers, and you know, we have everybody else in there. And as a worship leader, I want to make sure that we're engaging everyone, and we at least the bare minimum we can do is just give them a little piece. So I mean, that's what I'm doing personally, from my standpoint. And then whenever I go to have an opportunity to grace another platform somewhere else, if I'm allowed to be a part of the song planning set list, I think that's in the back of my mind as well.
Yeah, well, that's great, because you have the respect for your audience in general.
Absolutely.
When you're writing and you're creating those set lists, do you ever draw back on a piece that you've written, or a piece that you're really kind of almost like remixing for a day? Do you draw back on some of your influence? I guess maybe the question should be more of, so who are some of your influences in your musical style and vocal style and just your presentation? How do you see yourself when you get up there on a day when you need to draw? It's like, you know what? I don't feel like Alan today. What would such and such do? Yeah, I need to do that. Yeah.
I grew up listening to a lot of I guess you could say more contemporary gospel than anything. And Israel Houghton is definitely probably number one. I listened to him the most growing up. In more recent years, BJ Putnam. I would say around 2008, Freddie Rodriguez. Just Ricardo Sanchez. Just a lot of contemporary gospel is kind of, I didn't start listening to CCM until I would say probably around like consistently and actually leading worship with CCM, around probably 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've found over the years just a great love for worship. Different style, like I mean, I'm on the journey as well, and I'm growing in my faith, and I'm learning even as a young man that like, man, worship ain't about music; it's about God. Like, I'm reading this book. I can't remember the title right now. I just started reading it this week, and one of the things that it talks about is that like, the minute we think that worship music, or excuse me, that worship is about music, then that's when we start judging the music, and the only one who can judge the music is God, because it's for him, it's not for us. And so when I read that, I was like, oh my God, like it obviously said it in a way better way, like, you know, for all audiences and readers to understand. However, when I read that, I was just like, oh my God, like how many times I was convicted, because I was like, how many times have I walked into us, you know, just any kind of service, church service, and I'm, you know, and I, y'all don't act like I'm the only one, but you, if it's not like quote unquote on point, you know, we're judging it as if like it's for us when really it's for the Lord. And at the end of the day, you know, like obviously some of us are just like, yeah, but a spirit of excellence, I understand that, but it's not our job to be judging the music. That's the Lord, it's for him. And our job is to join in that worship atmosphere and see God break chains off of people's lives.
But it's just so much, so often it's, especially if you're in a role where you have to do that, you're adding to that, sound teams, you know, whether it's on camera, video switching, whatever your role of expertise or your role of service,
right? Like,
hey, that don't sound right. I mean, I've been moving through, you know, different worship centers when I've done sound or leading production, I'm like, ooh, that don't sound right.
Who's mixing this?
Exactly. And in some cases, we can't even deal with the mix. Who the heck is singing that? What are you doing? That note don't go together. You know what I'm saying? But it's easy to get in that. And like you said, and put yourself in that judgment seat. I'm like, well, that ain't my role. Let me keep moving. You know what I'm saying? When I find myself getting caught in those moments, I'm like, well, let me do what I need to do to make sure that whatever we're doing is right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure that I'm in my position,
right,
doing an excellent job from the position of doing the job I can, because it's just days when you can't do any better because either the gear's not right,
right,
we're not right, what we're given isn't right, and what we're getting isn't right, and then it's just moments where we just have to stop and just say, hey, you know what, something ain't right.
Yeah,
you know, there used to be a short story, and we'll get my short story. Used to be at a church, we're not going to name the church, but the worship pastor and the tech director didn't like each other.
Oh, Lord.
Man, it was a rough time, season. There was moments when and I could definitely tell the temperature of the room would change when they both were in the building together. Because one day it got really icy. I felt like that my forearm got a little cold, hair started standing up on neck. I started looking around. I saw a dude on the platform. He was the worship pastor. Okay, I know you were in the building. Who else is he? Looked around. Oh, yep, there he is. And so we're a tech director, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Now it makes sense. And the room never got any better till one of them left. I was like, okay, ooh, that feels much better. Who's missing? You know what I'm saying? And one or both of them were out of the building.
Oh, man.
And it is just, but it goes back to our humanity.
Yeah.
Right? And knowing that we're not going to always get along with everybody that we're working with. But we have to learn to love God and love people the way he would have us to love.
Yeah.
As you're worshiping God and loving on people, has there been, how do you worship through those moments when you're just, after I'm done worshiping, I just really want to go sit down.
Yeah.
And either in a state and bask in that glow. or just sit down because you're tired. But there's someone who wants to, can you pray for me?
Yeah.
Pastor, can you, you know, you just, I just want to touch you. I want to, where are you with that afterwards? How do you monitor that? How do you give the grace to the people?
Yeah, no, there's definitely been those moments where at the end of a worship set, like, it could have gone on for hours.
Yeah.
And literally, like, just the presence of God was just so thick in that atmosphere. Sure. And those services, like, those are the best. Yeah. But there's been plenty of times where I literally, like, we finished the set as a team, and, you know, the next part of the service continues, and I literally had to go to my seat and just, like, cry and sit before the Lord, like, on my knees, and just because, you know, like, he's so good.
Yeah.
And when he pours out his presence like that, it's just like, what else am I going to do? Like, this is my response to him.
Yeah, yeah.
When he comes into the room and he shows up, yeah, and he does his thing, like, this is my posture.
Yeah.
Like, I can't continue and act like God didn't just walk in and start healing hearts and healing minds.
How do you, okay, so with me being in production for so long, I mean, that's all I did. When my dad was, you know, in churches to the point where I could help him, I was always a tech kid.
Yeah.
I always was on the post of helping and monitoring and watching, like, the watchman on the wall, make sure I understood where we needed to be from a production standpoint, even from the youngest of days, even if it was just a knob I could press, or if it was a, you know, back in the old days, we used to stop, drop, and roll, when you could put the blanket over somebody who had fallen and into slain the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but how do you, are you really able to worship in a lot of cases as you're serving? Because the worship leader can't always just enter in. You just can't go in.
Yeah.
And then what happens then? You're on the floor, lay down, and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where does the ship go then? And does the ship follow you and everybody go in? And there's still people about like, okay, now what do we do? What do we play when the worship leader's laid out? So how do you, because as production, we so often we can't go in, because if we go in, their production is all over the place.
Yeah.
How do you recommend you worshiping God and serving God in our post at the same time?
Yeah, man, that's kind of tricky for you guys. And I tip my hat. I mean, I love it. I love it, love it, love it when I see people in technical production, like, singing along, or, like, even sometimes, like, our sweet lyric girl, I won't say her name, but from Bread of Life.
Yeah.
You know, she's done a phenomenal job the last year, just learning pro presenter and everything like that. And and man, I love when I look back to where they're at, our media team, our technical production team, and I see her with a hand raised, and, like, I could barely see, but it looks like she's tearing up or something.
Sure.
I'm just like, yes, like, this team, they get it. They understand why we're doing this. Like, it's for him. It's so much greater than ourselves, you know? It's not just another job. It's not just another thing.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, we're responding to his presence.
Yeah. That's the great thing to have. And just always remembering all those times, and you're out there serving God. If you're in a technical position, if you're not in a technical position, watch God.
Yeah.
Watch him work. Move to where he is and join him in the experience of that moment. It's not just, I'm here today because it's what I'm supposed to do, but it's what you want me to do.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back. We got our last break we're going to take before our final segment. Again, you're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show, in studio with me, Ellen Sines.
You're listening to My Dad on The Craig Carlisle Show, 104.5 WPJC, Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restore Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
Hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrell. We want to invite you to listen to The Craig Carlisle Show because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
And welcome back to The Craig Carlisle Show. Final segment, Alan. As we're going through, tell the, you know, I know you mentor people. And it, sometimes you may not think, well, I'm a young kid. I'm trying to, you know, be mentored myself. But there's people watching.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to be like you. They're strumming their guitar like you. They're holding their guitar like you. They're wearing their hair like you. I mean, seriously, there's kids out there that want to be you because you're the worship leader. You're the one that's leading the way. And you may not always think there's anybody out there looking or caring. There may not even be the youngest of kids. There may be some older generation people who may, you know what? When I was young, I wish I had done like him. I wish I had, you know, gone out and sought after God with like he did. And, you know, I was afraid to. Sure. How do you speak to those people, and what do you recommend for people like you? Because you're amongst the leadership that's raising up the next generation of worship leaders. As you are amongst that generation of worship leaders, what are you saying to those that are coming alongside you, that should come alongside you, that may be sitting in the audience going, oh, I want to, but no, I just can't, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it was funny that, as you were saying, some of those specific things like want to do your hair like you or like whatever. As you were saying that, all of those, I literally was thinking of these a couple of different kids from my church. Yeah. Like, it's so awesome and crazy to even think that, like, that's the kind of, like, just the little influence that I've seen even in my local church. Like, it's insane. But yeah, to answer that question, man, like, I would just encourage you to trust God, step out in faith. It sounds so cliche, but it's just like your blessing is right on the other side of your breakthrough. And it's so true because, you know, if like, what would the story, how would the story be played out in the Bible if David had never, you know, protected the sheep and ran away and never protected him from the lion and tigers and bears. Oh my. but like, no, like legit, he stood up to those lower, and what is it? Quote unquote giants.
Yeah.
And then by the time it was time to face Goliath, he was ready to go. He's like, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Yes, started talking trash.
Yeah,
and, you know, because he's like, this ain't nobody. Like, I've been doing this out in the fields and protecting the sheep, you know. And so when it comes to like something that you feel like maybe the Lord is calling you to, or I don't know, just maybe you want to step out in faith, but you're a little shy or scared, or man, I encourage you, step out with boldness. And honestly, that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit, because I would never get in front of a whole bunch of people and like, no, like that's the Holy Spirit. Like I get nervous every time I'm in front of people, and people would be like, oh, it doesn't seem like it. Well, praise God, that's the Holy Spirit at work, because I'm nervous, you know. And I just want to get out of the way as soon as I can. I want to lead people into the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to get out the way and let the Lord do his thing.
You know, I love your story, that analogy, because when you really look at that, David was a young man.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't recall the exact age in the Bible, but the certain philosophers want to say he's in his teens.
Yeah.
In that point, where were the elders? Besides on the banks of the same little canyon right where they were standing watching, going, somebody ought to do something. Man, somebody would have get that guy. I don't know what this giant is, but I'm not gonna get him. You gonna get him? No, I'm gonna get him. You gonna get him? And here comes this kid who has no fear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's where as a young generation, you all are there. Kids are fearless.
Yeah.
You haven't had enough life, thankfully, in your path where you should be afraid of life.
Yeah.
Everything in life was just, yeah, we can do it. We can do it, right? Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, I got some stone. What I got? Stones and a slingshot. Bam!
Yeah. And but, I love what Jesus, how Jesus says is, you know, to inherit the kingdom of heaven, yeah, must have childlike faith.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Man, I was talking to someone the other day about that, and it just made me think, like, it's so true, because, like, there's just so many things in our lives that if we don't have that childlike faith, we're literally, like, we're going to be miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was talking to one of my friends, and I was just like, man, I just see the Lord, because the Lord gave me a word for her, and I was just like, man, I just see a picture of you holding, it's like a picture of a little girl holding her daddy's hand. Mm. And the conversation was kind of around the topic of, like, I just feel like kind of lost. I don't know really where to go. And, you know, and I've been praying and seeking the Lord, and I'm just wrestling in between that tension. And I was just like, I just felt like the Lord was giving her a word. And that word was just like, just rest in holding daddy's hand. Yeah. And knowing, just like a little girl will just start walking around, and like, she may not know exactly where she's at, but she's walking around, she's curious, and yeah, she has that innocence, and but she's not fearful of what's to come or where she's going, because she's holding on to daddy's hand. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, I love how Jesus said to have that childlike faith, because it's literally, it could be the key to any of the doors that God wants you to walk through.
I love the analogy, because even as you were talking, the Lord just reminded me, it's like, it's confirmation.
Yeah.
Because that's why he had to begin to clear out the church leadership. Some, yeah, of our leaders are older.
Yeah.
But a lot of the worshipers that are actually ushering in the Spirit are younger. Because, yeah, for whatever reason, the generation between yours and mine and beyond, a lot of us have lost our faith,
mm-hmm,
and our fearlessness. I can speak from that, from the standpoint that when my wife passed away, it became this whole, you know, pool of, damn, what the heck am I going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have that boldness. Oh, okay, God, you know, you took my wife. That's cool. It's her time to go. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. We're going to go serve. It was, yeah, more like, okay, God, I am crushed.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, the enemy has done so many things to the older people.
Yeah.
It could be 25, could be older. Just if life has hit you with so much, and you've laid down and allowed it to crush you.
Yeah.
If that Goliath, like you mentioned, in your life has been there, and you allowed it to take you out. There's so many of us out there who aren't in our position.
Yeah.
And it's leaving this huge gap and void.
Yeah.
For whoever's the next person up.
Right.
Fully qualified yet or not, growing in your faith, yes.
Yeah.
They have to do it. You have to continue to stand there.
Absolutely. Because
if you're not standing in the gap, ushering in the Spirit of the Lord, the rest of us are trying to get our lives together.
Yeah.
Who've been hurt and crushed and abused or, you know, mistreated and fearful, lost our faith. We don't have a chance.
Yeah.
At all. So I bless you with just the knowledge and wisdom to know that you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
And bless you with refreshing after every time you minister, either the Lord clears you, you know, bless you with not having any transfer of spirits, because people don't get the whole fact that you've just got done. You've just poured out everything that you had as a drink offering before God.
Yeah.
And someone who's just wants to just, because they can see that they're drawn to, it's not that they're drawn to you. They're drawn to the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, some of them are drawn just because they have ill motives. So the ill motives, when it's come in touch, and what they have, you, because you may not be equipped at that moment.
Yeah.
So I pray that you're protected and blessed to have that protection. So when you get done ministering, that there's always an angel standing there. Oh, sorry. Though they may touch you. Okay, they're not actually touching you. You feel me?
Yeah.
So there's no way they can transfer. And yeah, just pray that, and bless you to be mindful and discerning as to, as you are continuing to minister, that, yeah. Because I think you and I talked about it before. You need to have those armor bearers to go out there with you and say, hey, look, you,
amen,
know, hold this water bottle or hold my Bible, do it, mean it in the towel or something. You're training up that next person.
Yeah.
You know, to,
absolutely,
go. You're going on the road, you know, ministering in the churches. You're going with your dad. I'm sure you do some things to help your dad.
Yeah.
So he can be in that moment to minister, bring the word. Yeah. Dad, I got your jacket. No problem. Are you wearing your jacket, Dad? You know, are you doing this?
Yeah.
Or, you know, are you taking care of yourself? Are you drinking tea? What do you normally need on the road? Are you doing... Train that next group.
Yeah. I even think that... I don't want to go off on a tangent or anything that. But no, I think that's so good because sometimes we get so complacent or just so stagnant in our faith, in our walk, that we even forget that, like, how the importance of serving others.
Oh yeah,
you know. And so that's one thing that I've loved throughout the years. Like, you could ask my dad. I absolutely, whenever, like, I'm with my dad traveling or anything like that, even when I was younger and I would just be in the pews, like, watching him minister and stuff like that, like, I would be holding his jacket. I would, like, go out of my way because, man, like, this is an opportunity for me to serve my dad.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity. And it's not so much that he's my dad, but it's an opportunity for me to serve.
Sure.
And I, like, even as a young kid, it's funny because I would, yes, I'm serving, but also sometimes it'd be selfish motives.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I just want to say, like, we would take ministers or pastors from different churches who would be our guest speaker for that weekend or whatever.
Sure.
And I'd be like, can I sit with you and so-and-so? And then he's like, yeah. And then so, like, literally, and then I'll be like, oh, you want another water? Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it, you know, it's just, I don't know, like, even that in general, just it's been such a blessing because many of those people have, like, I just see them, like, it's funny because some people have asked me, like, oh, who's your favorite superhero growing up or whatever.
Sure.
I'm like, I mean, yeah, I kind of had those, but honestly, it was like the men of God that I was surrounded by.
Yeah.
Like, those were my superheroes because I would see the way that God would use them and then, like, see God pour out his spirit in like those churches or whatever, in those atmospheres. And I'm like, ah, oh, I want to do that.
But it gets no more super than a hero in the faith, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's awesome because even at being your dad, I'm sure the selfish motive, that's my dad right there. That's my dad. I want to hold my dad's jacket. And I don't know how much of it was you doing it for dad or doing it for God, or was it an equal amount of both, or, you know, but that was your dad there.
And
my dad being a PK, I only got a chance to really serve with him until I was about 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went away to college, I never was able to go back to his church again because I went to a school that was several hours from where he was.
Sure.
And I didn't get a chance to serve when I was in those moments when I could really, really do something for him. So I had those that regret. He passed away a year ago this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have this chance to ever go back and serve. So even when I got older, he got to be old, much, much older. He retired. So a lot more time together, we weren't able to do much, you know, but take advantage of those moments that you have and cherish those times, because it's only going to be like this now. When you go and the Lord sends you where you're going to be, or, you know, it takes your dad to glory, you know, he's not going to always be in your life. So those moments that you have, bro, take advantage of them.
Absolutely.
And that's like, we've taken advantage of this whole time here. We're together on the Raising Men show. Doggone it. Whenever I'm sitting here somewhere, I always keep saying, I'm going to put a piece of tape and a big placard as to what show I'm doing at the time. This is the Craig Carlisle Show right here. I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drugged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoba, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.